very few people know anything about this. Maybe when you're a kid, you did Blood Brothers or did that with someone else, but very few people have an understanding of this, what we're talking about, especially people in the United States. You know, we're so civilized and in all our things, and so to think about, you know, blood and guts and all that, we just don't like all that. We like to watch it in the movies, but we don't like to have anything to do with us. And so this country doesn't have a concept of this, and that's the reason why we have so many lawsuits and why we have so many divorces and other kind of legal problems. Has to do with not understanding covenant and blood covenant. We're living in an hour where Judge Judy is a celebrity. Everybody knows Judge Judy and watches Judge Judy and how great she is. You know, and that that ought not be right here, you know. But most people do not know what making a vow is or what giving our word. It used to be you'd settle a deal with a handshake. And we're long gone. That's long gone. But that's how it used to be. You'd shake hands and you'd settle the agreement. Then you wouldn't need a contract. But we're living in a different time. Now you have a contract. Our lease agreement here in the church is 30 pages, single space, small lettering. You think it would be, you know, there wouldn't be that much going on here. We're just going to be leasing this space here. Got a few square feet here in the church. 30 pages, a lot of fine print involved, and a lot of other things. There's a lot more. You ever read the back of your credit card agreement? You had to need a magnifying glass to read through all that. It's just a lot involved here. But besides knowing who we are in Christ, that revelation of who we are in Christ, I think this revelation of the blood covenant has helped me most in my Christian life. The word covenant means compact, pledge, treaty, agreement. And it's a contract. And again, it's between two parties. I will agree to do this, and you will do this. And we mentioned earlier, we sign these all the time, but we seldom realize the ramifications of what we're signing or that we're going into a covenant agreement with someone. In the Hebrew, covenant means to cut an incision where the blood flows. Look over in Leviticus 17. This is a book that we all love to read and study. Praise God. It's an exciting book. The words just jump off the page. Leviticus 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The life is in the blood. Your very life is in blood. Without the shedding of blood, and anybody, I mean, read the Bible, without the shedding of blood, there is no life. There's no remission of sins. And so the blood covenant rite is the most enduring, the most sacred pact known to man. There's no agreement or treaty higher in value or significance than a blood covenant. It is the strongest agreement that can be made. It can never be annulled. Now, again, it doesn't mean you're not going to have problems, but you're not looking for a way to get out of the covenant or to break the covenant. Covenant is a total giving of oneself to another forever. It's a long time. You don't want to go into covenant with a selfish person. You don't want to go into covenant with someone that's a taker. You want to go into covenant with someone that's a giver, someone that's generous, someone that's going to be a blessing. In a covenant, you submit to each other. You bless each other. You help each other. And in that covenant agreement, that person has a special place in your life. That's someone, if they call, you're going to take their call. There's a lot of calls you take, you're going to hold, or, you know, you may not take it, call them back later. But when that person calls, a covenant person calls you, you're going to take their calls. There's a free access in your relationship. And you know, and so many times we think about covenant is based on strength, but covenant is based on weakness. And this is where a covenant gets so powerful, is you may be strong in an area that I'm weak in, or vice versa. And by you coming together, you are stronger. And it makes your weaknesses stronger and your strengths get stronger. And that's why, you know, the whole marriage covenant is so powerful. Again, I'm married to someone that it's opposite of me in so many ways. And that's been a good thing for us. I mean, we have had every once in a while a controversy, right? And I'm always the one that gets it resolved and we get it worked out. Being the man of God, the man of love that I am, holy man, we get it worked out. But we're opposites in a lot of ways. But that's been too, it hasn't been a bad thing, it's been a good thing. Our lives have been better. Our lives have been enhanced because of our differences. We can do so much more because of our differences. You know, and so many times in groups, people like to be in a group where everybody's the same. Why is that? Because when other people have other strengths, often we're intimidated by their strengths. And so instead of wanting to be with that person to tap into their strengths, we run from that. And that's just the way. And so we want to get in our little group where everybody's the same. Well, a covenant is where people with different backgrounds, people of different strengths come together. And because of that, your group, your family is more powerful. And so you want to tap into it. And that's why in a church it can be so powerful, because of diversity. And I love this church. You know, I can go around and, I mean, each of you have different interests, different perspectives of God, different things and likes and different skills that you have. And as we all come together, we're so much, you know, today we talked about influence. We're so much more influential because of all of us together, much more than any of us could be by ourselves. And so I like that. And I just want you to know there's going to be more diversity coming to the church. There's not going to be, everybody's going to be like me or everybody's going to be like Susie. We're just, you know, I'm asking God for the most different kind of people, all kinds of folks to be coming into the church. So get ready for that. So we are stronger together than we are apart. You know, and again, if you had two armies or two families that came together, one may be strong in war. They're excellent fighters. They can get, you know, any war they're going to be in, they're going to win. But they may be horrible farmers. And so they don't eat very good. But there may be another group over here. They're not strong in battle, but they may be excellent farmers. And so when you bring together them together, they're going to win all their battles and they're going to eat good. So that's the power of that, of entering into covenant. So entering into covenant with another joins you together as one. And what is on them will come on you. It will affect you. And so, and that's, we'll talk more about that. But that's why it's so important when you sign a contract or you go into a covenant or you're going to marry someone, you have to realize that what's on them is going to come on you. Again, that's why you want to hook up with people that are going to be a blessing. You want to hook up with somebody with a good heart. Because if they have an evil heart, if they have bad intentions, if they're stealing and killing and destroying, then that's going to, if you go into covenant with them, it is going to affect you and affect your life. All right, what are the reasons for cutting a covenant? Four basic reasons. First one is protection. Two parties come together to strengthen the other's weaknesses. We call this an alliance. Anybody here ever heard of NATO? Once the nations have come together, they're an alliance. They're coming together for protection. They are stronger. They can handle any kind of problems or any kind of attacks from other nations because of their alliance together. Another reason for cutting a covenant is safety. Neither tribe will take advantage of the other. It's a peace pact. So there'll be peace. You know, it's good for the United States to have a relationship with Mexico and Canada. We're blessed. We don't have, you know, nations that are wanting to destroy us. Aren't you glad Afghanistan isn't up where Canada is? Or we got some of these other nations that hate the United States, you know, right next door. We've got some nations that are favorable towards us, that are peaceful towards us. That's a safety relationship there. Another reason for cutting the covenant is blessing. The parties enter into a business arrangement. And again, you've heard of mergers, companies merging together. And so they'll be more financially prosperous and more things they can do financially. And then the last reason, and the most important, is the reason of love. People want to be in a close union. And again, the best example of a love covenant is marriage. And again, the marriage covenant is the most powerful union on the face of the earth. And you can understand why the devil is really coming against marriages. Because if he can break that union or he can divide that union, he can stop God working in that family and what God wants to do. That's what he's trying to do. So he's using every avenue, every means to break up marriages. And when you break the covenant in your marriage or in a relationship of love, it dilutes the power of that covenant. All right, let's talk about the cutting of the covenant. Because it's based on differences, when you go into covenant, there ought to be great discussions about it. Hopefully, tonight you didn't rush in and marry somebody after, you know, it was love at first sight, and the next week you're out marrying them. That's the potential for a lot of problems there. There ought to be some discussions. There ought to be some talks. And so that's why I made Susie sit down, and we would go through different books about marriage. And did they help us any, Susie? I don't know if they. But we would meet on Mondays at ORU and talk. And go. She thought I was crazy, but we spent a lot of time talking, and in fact we broke up 4 times because we weren't quite sure if she was the one for me and vice versa. So, you know, we spent a lot of time talking together. We spent a lot of time together, getting to know each other, making sure this was right. And then finally one night at Wendy's, remember that night? It was Wendy's is always a special place for us. At Wendy's, we were sitting in the car. I can see it now in Tulsa, and my roommate had met somebody, and they were dating for about a month, and they decided to go ahead and get married. And so we had been dating, I don't know, about a year and a half or maybe longer than that, and we thought, well, if they can do it, we can do it. Well, they ended up not getting married, and we did get married within about 6 months from then. But we spent a lot of time getting to know each other. We didn't want to. And we both realized the importance of this relationship and how it was going to affect us. And so we wanted to make sure this was the right thing, so there was great discussion. And so when you're going into a covenant with anybody, when you're signing a contract, that's why we have lawyers. When you're signing that contract, you want to make sure, you know, the person you're going into contract, there's no hidden, you know, any fine print that we need to read here. You want to have someone look over that thing, make sure that the situation is right. It can never be entered into lightly. And we're talking about blood covenant. There's no way out of it without death. You've heard the phrase, blood is thicker than water. What does that mean? Blood is thicker than the water in the child in the womb. Blood is thick. The Arabs say blood is thicker than milk, than the milk that the baby nurses from. That family relationship, being in a particular family. A blood covenant is stronger than your family relationships. And so it's more binding than having the same mother. A covenant is forever, and it's between us whether we get along or not. And that's where those that are married need to realize that even if you're not getting along, this covenant is forever. This covenant is binding. We're not looking for a way out of this. We're looking for a way to get along together. No one chooses their natural brother, but you do choose your blood brother. This scar over here was when I was a kid. I was we didn't wear seatbelts back then. There was no big talk about seatbelt. I was sitting in the back of our station wagon, and they used to really build the car strong. And in the back of that, the front seat, it was metal. You remember that? And so I was in the back seat, and my mom stopped, slammed on the brakes. And I went forward, and I hit that thing. Right, I had a big gash right here. Got a lot of attention in school from that one. But you see how it is? See how you're, and you got all your war stories too. We won't go into it. But you remember it. I remember my wedding day. I got there early. I was the first person at the church. I was eager. And so I got there, and it was over at Sacred Heart, and I walked around, and I remember walking up to the balcony, and I stood up there looking over my kingdom. And I remember what I did. I remember being in the back with the pastor and my brother, who is my best man. And he's crying, and I'm having to comfort him. I remember the whole ceremony. We didn't buy the video deal, but I remember the ceremony. I remember what happened. I remember my father reading the blessing, Deuteronomy 28, over us. I remember leaving in the carriage with my wife, who fell asleep. We went on our honeymoon to Savannah, and we went to Hilton Head. And Hilton Head, to this day, we go there every year. It is a special place because that's where our honeymoon was. Isn't that sweet? But God set this up, and the reason He went through all this ritual and all this blood and guts and all these words is so the people going into covenant would remember the covenant. That there'd be symbols and signs and markers, and they would always remember that they are in covenant with someone else. To remember. And again, maybe it's happened a few times. When I walk out of the house and I don't have my wedding ring on, I'll go back and get it. I have my wedding ring on. Not that I need all this remembrance now, but I wear that as a symbol of our covenant. And I want to have that when I go out in public. I want to have my wedding ring on. So people know I'm in covenant with somebody. Praise God. So it means something. And the name exchange is the next thing. Names are exchanged as a testimony that the two are one. And again, back, you know, in some covenant, they would change, both sides would change their name. Now, in a kind of marriage covenant, only one side changes their name. I mean, but some, that's not always true now either. But every time your name is mentioned, you remember the covenant agreement. Then a memorial is established. It's established by planting trees or erecting a pile of stones. Again, it's something that when they see that, when they walk by, they put it in a place, a prominent place, they'll remember that covenant. They'll always remember that covenant. Then they have a covenant meal, and where they feed each other. You know, in the marriage where they feed each other the cake, you just think that's some kind of a cute thing. Well, it's another symbol of covenant. And what they're saying, eat of me, I am yours. And actually, in covenant, when they would cut the covenant, they would mingle the blood into a cup, and they'd actually drink out of that cup. A lot of health problems there, right? But what they're saying, drink my lifeblood, as I drink your lifeblood. I see you fulfilling all the terms of the covenant as I fulfill your life. So, I mean, when we go through, I mean, you'd see this would make an impression on you. This is not something that you would forget. You've heard the story, we've mentioned it here, the story of Henry Stanley and David Livingston. And David Livingston was the famous explorer. He was one of the first great missionaries to Africa. And he was in the jungle area. And finally, they didn't hear from him for a long time. And so they sent Sir Henry Stanley to go and find him. And so Stanley went out on a big quest in Africa to find him. And he brought along with him a guide and an interpreter, someone that was trained in England but was an African. And knew the land and knew the area, but also spoke English. And so Stanley brought this guide and interpreter with him. And so they went into the jungle. They went looking to find him. And they faced all kinds of situations, sickness, disease, not eating, cannibals, all kinds of situations. And finally they came to an impasse where there was a powerful tribe that would not let them go any further. And Stanley did all he knew to do to keep on moving, but they would not let them go. And so the interpreter and guide said, you need to cut a strong covenant with this tribe. And, you know, again, Stanley, being from England, did not understand what he was talking about and asked him to explain it to him. And the guy explained all the different things we just talked about here. And basically, Stanley was, was not too thrilled about it. This is not something that he wanted to do or was excited about doing. And so he wasn't going to do it at first, but he finally realized, hey, this is my only option here. And so he went ahead and did it. And so Stanley picked the guide as his representative. The chief picked a prince as their representative. And they went through the whole blood covenant rites. And they did the whole thing. They had the blessings and the cursings and all the different things. And the cuts and the blood and all the different things. Covenant meal. Did all those things. And as part of the exchange of gifts, Stanley had an ulcer problem, a bad ulcer. And so the only thing that could give him any nourishment was the milk of a goat. And so of all the things, this great man, this great man from England, his prized possession was this goat. And the chief knew that it was. And so the chief asked, as part of the whole covenant rite, he asked Stanley for that goat. Stanley didn't want to give it up, but he had no choice. I mean, it's basically the tribe's more powerful. He's basically going to do whatever the chief wants to do. And the chief wanted that goat. And so Stanley's thinking, great, now I've just lost my only thing that's going to keep me alive here. But the chief gave him a spear, a 7-foot spear that was wrapped in copper coil. And Stan go, man, I got ripped off here. That's where the phrase "getting your goat" came from. Oh, okay, all right, we'll move here. All right, moving right along. Praise God. Trying to keep you awake here. So he gave him the 7-foot spear, and he's like, "What is this? I got ripped off here." But he didn't realize that spear represented that tribe, and that tribe happened to be the most powerful tribes in all of Africa. And so wherever they went, people would actually bow before them because of that spear. And Stanley would just even mention that he needed some goat's milk, and they would give him a whole herd of goats. He could buy and sell. At one point, he had some cotton and other goods. Just had them in the downtown square, just sitting there. No guards. Nobody would touch it because Stanley's in covenant with this tribe. See, there, it's a whole different. They have a whole different mindset, a whole different concept. And so Stanley ended up cutting at least 50 different covenants with other tribes all throughout Africa, when he began to learn the benefit of what he was involved in. So I hope you can see from that example the power here, the power of covenant and what that means. And again, you can start thinking here now about covenant with God, being in covenant with Him, and now start thinking about protection, start thinking about blessings, start thinking about love, safety, all these various things. There's no one greater that we can be in covenant with than God. There's no one that's going to be able to keep their end of their agreement more than God. Look over in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 24, and I think you'll understand this scripture more clearly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that's a covenant brother. Now the Hebrews, and again, blood covenant originated with God, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but it originated with God. Other people have perverted it and taken it and done different things, Satan especially. I mean, Satan, they have various cultures that would sacrifice children, sacrifice women, as part of their covenant rituals. And so obviously whenever Satan's involved, you're going to have stealing, killing, and destroying. And whenever you go into covenant with the wrong person, there can be danger, potential danger. But God is the one from the very beginning that initiated covenant. He's the one that set it up. And now in the Hebrew, there's a word that represents covenant more than any other word. It's the word Hesed. H-E-S-E-D. And for those that are the Hebrew scholars here, the reference is H-26-17 in your Strong's Concordance, if you want to look it up, or if you want to look it up in the Vines. I know some of you are real interested in that stuff. Someone asked me about that last time. They couldn't find it, because when in our previous outline, we had it spelled with two S's. But I just checked it out a little further, and the proper spelling is with one S. Okay, so this Hebrew word characterizes covenant better than any Old Testament word. Again, now the New Testament word would be agape. And so we have some idea. 1 Corinthians 13 would be similar to this. We're talking about just a love beyond ordinary, a love more than just an attraction. A love that, well, you know, I love that color, I love this food. I mean, it's a powerful love. And so that word is hasid. It's covenant love. It's a personal involvement and a commitment beyond the rule of law. And it's a bond. It represents the whole covenant. In some of the definitions, I want to read you what some of the definitions are of this, or phrases that describe what this means. The first one is, remember, I hold you in my mind. I hold you in my mind. You're in my thoughts. You're not just someone that I think about when I see you, but you're on my mind constantly. I love that song, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And so you're on their mind. The next one is, I crown you. You hold that person that you're in covenant with. You hold them up. You give them value in your life. You hold them in a high place. You esteem them highly. The next one is, you are ever before me, constantly before me, constantly in my thoughts, constantly on my mind, constantly affecting my actions, constantly affecting what I'm saying, how I handle my affairs is affected by you. And then that leads to the next point. I live in constant reality of the bond that is between us. And again, it's a love that doesn't pass away. It's a love that doesn't die out. It's a love that doesn't fizzle. It's a love not based on feelings. It's a knowing. It's something that's deeper than just a feeling. Thank God for the feelings. But it's a love. And again, maybe the only way you could describe it is a love that a parent has for its child. You know, any of us that have kids, you know, when your child is sick, it's like you're sick. And I think anybody that has lost a child would say, I wish I would have lost my life rather than my child losing their life. I mean, it's a love. I mean, it's hard to even, I mean, put words to describe this type of love. And I think if anybody, if you think about a parent, maybe your brother or a friend or a spouse or a child, I think you're getting an idea of what I'm talking about here, that kind of love. You do anything for them. You go out of your way for them. You would travel 1,000 miles, whatever, you know, on your knees, whatever, you know. You do anything for them. That's a seed. It is if I am at this moment standing in blood swearing. You remember that covenant, and so you're constantly remembering what took place and what we said to each other and the agreement that we made and what I said I would do and what you said you would do. And you're not living your life trying to get out of the agreement. You're living your life to fulfill the agreement and to go above and beyond, to go the extra mile. I am It's I am. It is never I was or I will be in the future. It is always now. God, Jehovah, is the great I am. He is I am. He is now. He's not the God of 1,000 years ago and the God that did great things 6,000 years ago. He's the God of right now. And what he did then, he's doing now. And he'll do it in the future. He's always in the present. I am plotting. I love this part. I am plotting and planning ways to bless you and surprise you as I keep the covenant terms. Some of you wives, you ever been surprised by your husband? You ever like got flowers and it wasn't like a special occasion? I mean, what did that thrill you? Did you get excited about? I'm not trying to condemn anybody now. Or maybe you got a surprise card or someone did something for you that they didn't have to do. Doesn't that bless you? Well, when you're in covenant with someone, that other person, I am plotting and planning ways to bless you and surprise you with good things. Covenant is always action. Covenant is more than just words. Covenant is action. Covenant is doing. Knock and I'll open. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you will receive. That's the covenant relationship. So a seed is a personal involvement and a commitment in a relationship beyond the rule of law. Now imagine this, and this will maybe help you see things a little bit. Imagine, you know, you bought, we have a Chrysler minivan. Imagine we bought a Chrysler minivan, and all of a sudden the next day Chrysler shows up at our door, and then they take the van and they wash the van. Every time that we need it serviced, they come and get it, give us a loaner car, just thrilled to do it, pick it up at our house, get it fixed, no charge. Anytime they get we need gas, oh, put it on the Chrysler credit card. Because we have a covenant relationship with you. You bought one of our vehicles. And we're going to go above the rule of law, what our, you know, the standard agreement says. And we're just going to bless you. And in fact, not only do you have this car, but you've got a car for life. When this one runs out, we'll give you a brand new car. How many would like to go in covenant with Chrysler? But no, and I'm not talking about Chrysler, but no, they grumble when you come. They charge you extra fees. They find problems that aren't even there in their car, and they charge you $200. And if you try to act on the agreement, they get mad about it. No concept. You know, businesses today, no concept of covenant. They just want your money. They want your money, and then they don't want to see you again. They definitely don't want you to bring it back. And there's very few, really, that want to make good on what they said they were going to do. Do you notice, like on the credit card offers, how on the front page, they have all these color graphics, all these different things, and they tell you all the benefits, and they are big and bold. Man, when you go into this agreement with us, you're going to get all this. But on the back, they got the fine print, which they don't want you to read. And then they send you the booklet. They want you to go in agreement for those little itty-bitty benefits. Then all this stuff they want. See, they're takers. They're looking to take from you. They're looking to get your money. They say they want to give you these benefits, but when it really comes down to it, they want to get your money. And they don't care if you go bankrupt. They want your money. I'm telling you, it's important to realize this and to realize some of these contracts we're going with people. Don't go, I mean, don't be doing business with people you don't know. I mean, I know sometimes you can't, you know, research all the companies, but if you have it in your power to find out about who you're going into covenant with, you ought to do so. It'll save you a lot of grief and heartache down the road. Look over in Deuteronomy 7, and I think this will characterize God and will show you the Hebrew covenant. And again, you know, with our, you know, fast food mentality, and we're so busy and wanting everything so quickly, we don't want to wait. Don't you hate waiting? But look at God's attitude. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. That's somebody you want to go into covenant with. He's not some fly-by-night, going to be here, going to be out of business next week. I mean, when He makes a promise, He's going to keep it. What He says He's going to do, He's going to do. And He's always going to do extra. Because there's always Ephesians 3:20. God will do abundantly more than we ask or think. But He's a good God. And so it's the Hebrew covenant is more than just obligations. It's a covenant of generosity, loyalty, and mercy. Meaning if you mess up, there's going to be there. Mercy is going to be there for you. So again, blood covenants originated with God. We'll just go there quickly. Look in Genesis 3. After Adam sinned, this covenant was made with Adam. God made covenant with Adam. Verse 21, chapter 3, verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Again, so this is going back to the very beginning. Blood covenant goes back to the very beginning of man. God made covenant with Noah. Look in Genesis 9. Verse 9. And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that a rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember, there's that word, I will remember, God doesn't forget, I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now, this had been just other folks. I mean, this would have passed away. They would have said it one day and something different the next. But look at God's attitude. Look over in Revelation 4. How much this meant to God. What He said. Revelation 4, verse 3. And He who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in an appearance like an emerald. God thought so much of this covenant with Noah, the rainbow is right near him to remember what He said. Praise God. So record of blood covenants have been found in all ancient civilizations. Now again, the devil perverts it. They have blood covenant in gangs. That's why these gangs are so strong and can be so powerful. I mean, they won't tell on each other. They'll rather go to jail for their other members of their gang. You kill one of ours, we're going to kill one of yours. The mafia, same thing. They have an understanding of covenant. And again, Satan perverted it. They got all these rites and rituals and things that they do. But what was it in The Godfather? I'm not recommending watching The Godfather. But there was a scene in The Godfather where there was this guy that he was, I don't know what the terminology, capo or some kind of rank in the mafia. And they had got this guy to inform. He was the first one to inform on everybody else. Because it's so difficult to get them to talk about what they do and what happens, And so they finally got this guy that knew and could implicate the head guy, the whatever they call him, the Godfather, Don, whatever. No, it wasn't. It was the Michael Corleone. And so the guy was testifying, and they were asking the questions in the big the courtroom, and they were asking the guy's questions, and he was starting to spill his guts, and he was going to tell about all the murders and all the different things, and everybody's going to jail. And all of a sudden, in walks Michael Corleone's lawyer. And he walks in with this guy's brother, all the way from Sicily. And they walk in, and they sit down, and the minute this guy sees his brother, he shuts up. And then he says, well, I don't remember what I was saying. I didn't mean any of that. And he would not say one word about anybody in the mafia because his brother was there. Because that brother represented covenant. And he was not going to tell on his covenant brothers. And so they had a very good plan. But see, they have an understanding of that. Part of that helps them with their success. You know, too, and I'm not into this big mob thing here, but some of the most successful mafia people are Mayor Lansky and Lucky Luciano. You know, and you really recognize these names? They had one of the most powerful mafia families and groups ever. Very influential in the world. And the reason why is because Lucky Luciano had Mayor Lansky, who was a Jew, in his group. That he knew the financial dealings. He knew the corporate things. He knew all the different things to do. And Luciano was the hitman. He was the guy that would kill people and handle that side. And together, because they were in covenant with some of the most powerful mafia people, because they played off each other's weaknesses and strengths. You look at the whole thing in Israel, between the Arabs and the Israelis. We look at that and we think these people are crazy. What is going on? Why can't we just send somebody over there, sit down on the table, work this thing out, you know, over lunch, have a business lunch, and get this thing worked out? But see, you are dealing with thousands of years of covenant. People have been killed. Things have happened. Talking about land, what God has said to Abraham and Ishmael and all the different things. And so it's, you know, us Western people are going to go over there and fix it. Yeah, right. We're really getting in the way. We need to stay out of it. We need to bless Israel, follow the word of God, and stick with that simple principle. That needs to be our foreign policy. And then stay out of it. Because we have no the Western people, we have no concept of covenant. These folks do. You know, in the whole the Palestine-Israeli thing right now, you kill one of ours, you kill one of our leaders, we're going to kill one of your leaders. And they're just going back and forth now. This is deep. This is very deep. This is, you know, you look at the IRA in Ireland, you know, the Catholics and the Protestants. I mean, this runs back a long time. And, you know, you heard the word bad blood. We're talking about bad blood here. So much. Can you imagine with your neighbors? You hate your neighbors so much, you want to kill them. If you had an opportunity, you'd kill them. Just because they're in that group. Does anybody have that going on right now? We need to pray for you. How would you like to live in some of these places? You walk on your backyard and people are shooting at you? In some of these countries, they hate the United States. And they are willing to fly a plane into a building for what they believe in. It is so deep in them. It's so deep, and they're willing to give their lives for what they believe. And so a lot of these other, and again, Satan has perverted it, but it is a powerful thing. Imagine what we could do in the church if we got a revelation, a godly revelation of blood covenant. Imagine what it would do to our marriages. Imagine what it would do to our families. Imagine what it would do to this church. Instead of being intimidated by one another, instead of being afraid of one another, instead of being, well, you're a different color or you're a different background or you're stronger in this and I don't, you know. Imagine if a church would come together in covenant. Imagine, and we need to wrap it up here, but imagine if the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force would come together. And they would get together, and you know, because so many times, I'm telling you, because of what do they call it, a spirit day core, what do you call it? It's so strong, your group, you are so in this group, it's almost like they're pitted against each other. And imagine, and again, the Army can't go fight a battle out in the water. And the Navy can't go up in the air, can't take their ship. At least they haven't figured that out yet, how to take their ship into the air. But if they would realize it, their strength and work together, how much more powerful they would be. Covenant. If you understood covenant. If a business, again, in so many business, all the ones I've worked at, it was this group here, this group here, this group here. And basically, man, we're getting all we can for our group, and we don't care about your group. We're going to get ours. I don't care if the rest of the company goes under, as long as we got ours. But if you had a revelation of covenant, what would that do to your company? I mean, how you would all work together. You're on the same side. What would covenant do in this city concerning churches? We have, 784 churches, all with doing something. And if we would even get together a little bit, maybe even pray for each other, imagine what would happen in this area. We could wrap the job up in this city in a day. No, but because we're divided, we're afraid of others, they're stronger in this, they've got a better, bigger building, they're all, you know, all these different things. So we're intimidated by each other. Well, they don't believe like us. Oh, no. We're all on the same side. The same team. And so that's why this message tonight, and as we talk about this, why it's so important. And I hope the young people catch hold of this. The young people would catch hold of this now. I mean, your lives would be so much more blessed. You're going to prosper and thrive. More opportunities. I mean, I wish I would have learned. I didn't learn this till after I was 19. Wish I would have known this earlier on. And so the Bible is primarily a record of two covenants. The word testament, look it up. Old Testament, New Testament. The word testament, you look it up in the dictionary. The word covenant is in there. It's Old Covenant, New Covenant. Old Testament, primarily God's covenant with Abram or Abraham. The New Testament is God's covenant with Jesus.